B-Pod Studios.
Thanks for choosing Felger and Maz to entertain.
There's no reason to touch
them. And inform you in the afternoon.
I think your cheeks are a little loose.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Final hour of the program. We go right back to your phones as promised. Sam in the car has a thought on Kyrie Irving. Hi, Sam.
Hey, guys. Show. Kyrie Irving is talking about these guys aren't good enough. The whole point to the way I see it is he's not good enough. He's not a good enough leader. He doesn't know how to bring the team together, and he doesn't know how to lead. Just because you're an elite player does not make you a good leader. And he wants to throw all the trash at the rest of the team, and he needs to look at himself because he's a terrible leader. He always will be. And you can bring in 11 other guys, and if they're making him the alpha dog, they're not going to win a damn thing.
Okay. I would agree with everything in the past tense. Who knows what Kyrie can become?
No, people can grow.
He's only 26, and maybe he figures it out at some point.
I mean, he'll learn from this.
Hopefully.
Well, he should learn from this. Right. That's right.
But it's safe to say whatever's going on right now has not worked. And his little implosion yesterday in Milwaukee, being asked about the video, shows you, is another indication. Maybe he just can't hack it.
He can't hack it. He can't hack it. To me, that's what it is. He can't hack it. He wants the good parts that go with being the megastar. All the adulation, the kissing of the feet. He wants all that, all the attention, all the glory. He doesn't want the scrutiny that goes with it. And what he doesn't get is they go hand in hand. It's a package deal. You get both. He can't hack it, at least not yet. Again, in 2 years, maybe. I don't think Durant can hack it either, by the way.
No, they've both proven that. They're mad they can't control the narrative of where they're going to go and what they're going to do this summer. And it's, you know, that's driving them crazy, and this is why they're so defiant. I mean, Kyrie's become, he's getting worse by the day with this. So if nothing else, even if you were not bothered and you're mad he took shots at the media, anything like that yesterday, fine. He's, like he's just said, like, with each day,
he's unraveling.
Like, yeah,
it's like, feels like a breakdown.
He feels like he's unraveling.
He's ready to attack as soon as he hears a question he doesn't like.
But all the more reason he needs to get on the floor and start winning again. Because that winning's a great deodorant. Gasper's good line. That will happen. You know, especially if you win these games, Milwaukee, Toronto, and establish yourself, then the whole storyline changes. And now it becomes, are you the favorite in the East? And we talk about the basketball. And it all goes away. But if it goes in the other direction, it continues. The unraveling continues, I'm afraid.
And on the court is where he's at his best, right? That's his element.
So starts tonight. A game here on 98.5, the Sports Hub, 8 o'clock in Milwaukee. Mike in Salem on the Bees. Go ahead, Mike.
Hey, guys. I think one of the issues for the last couple of years for the Bruins has actually been Krejci. I've been hearing every single year for the last, like, 2-3 years that he needs somebody to play against. And at $7.2 million a year, I think he needs to make people better around him. And I'm tired of hearing that we need somebody to get for him. And as far as the trade, I'm agreeing with you guys as far as I think if an overpay could be used for something else. But as far as the media hyping up Coyle coming into Boston as a hometown guy, I mean, it's not as if Donato has no connections here, and I'm pretty sure that Neely and Sweeney had a very personal business call with Ted Donato on that one, too.
I'm just telling you, I said, again, went on a rant before. I give two poops about the fact that he's from here. I could care less where these guys are from, and I hate when it's played up. Like, he played on the South Shore in a junior league with Chris Wagner. I don't care. And it made me forget the other thing. What was his other point? What's the first thing that he said?
Oh, Krejci.
He's right about Krejci the past couple of years. Have you watched David Krejci this year?
No, he's elevated guys this year.
He's been terrific this year. This is, well, Maz has said it earlier. Maz has said it all season. This is as good as Krejci has looked in maybe 5 years.
It's a long time.
Maybe since that last cup year in 2013, or maybe the next year when they won the President's Trophy. Like, that era. Krejci has not looked this good since then.
No, he looks like the Krejci of old. He really does pretty damn close. You give him a goal scorer now, and I don't know, maybe he can tap into Coyle. Maybe that'll work because of it. I have no idea. Krejci's gone to a different level again this year. Like, to me, that's a huge variable for them. If Krejci has gone back to being something closer to what he was.
So this is why I said.
And McAvoy's game's back. I told you, I wouldn't want to play them.
I understand that Coyle's a better fit on the third line because he's a center, not a wing. But if Krejci's playing like this, aren't you wasting David Krejci if you're putting him with Kuhlman? I forget his first name.
Carson.
Carson Kuhlman or Solaric or one of these, you know, 4A players? You're wasting Krejci. I think they're going to be tempted to put Coyle there or put Pastrnak, keep Pastrnak there with Krejci and put Heinen back up there. Like, to me, you're wasting Krejci if you're playing Kuhlman with that.
Well, in all probability, he's going to start there, right? I mean, because
Coyle, I bet he starts third line center.
I bet he starts second line wing. I was talking to someone about this today.
Oh yeah,
because what are you going to do? Sit Backes in St. Louis? They're not going to sit him there,
right?
Right. And so, but Kuhlman, you could bounce him out of there.
No. Well, you sit Frederick.
But Frederick, I think, is also, isn't he from St. Louis?
Who cares? He's Trent Frederick. He's a kid.
But they'll put stock in that. They'll put stock in that.
Meaning they'll think they'll get more out of him because he's playing at home.
Right, exactly.
Mike and Woburn, curious, did you like the Charlie Coyle trade?
So when I first heard it, I was like, I thought it was an overpay. And I think it still is a slight overpay, but that's the price of doing business at the deadline versus any other time of the year. Case in point to remember, what is it, 2 weeks ago? Brian Boyle went for a straight second, okay? Brian Boyle is not the player that Charlie Coyle is. He's not, okay? And that's just a straight second-round pick, and Brian Boyle's a free agent at the end of the year. So there's no term there either. So that basically set the market. I think the Bruins did pretty good for what they gave up and what they got. I mean, you know, Donato, he didn't sign a 3-year deal and they burned a year.
No, he signed a 2-year deal.
Like they did for McAvoy. Right. He signed a 2-year deal. So that tells me his agent is probably not going to be an easy, you know, go in RFA. Negotiations. I don't know if they're going to have to bring Sinden down and give him the full Christich, but it's probably a headache that they removed, and they have a glut of guys at that forward wing position who are going to be RFAs. So basically, you've just said, all right, here's a guy who's about to get more expensive. We'll upgrade at now with the risk, taking the risk that this guy doesn't, you know, develop into something else. Now, the guy you've talked about, Vetrano, I mean, how many people is he playing in front of, you know, down in Florida? There's no pressure down there.
Right.
He's playing top 6 minutes. He's on all the special teams. Freaking, you know, Jimmy Hayes scored 19 goals down there in Florida.
I don't miss Frank Vetrano.
No, I don't either. But you know, and we got to, like, look at what Donato could be. Like, do you, like, for a level for that guy, for a top level, like, do you see him as a Brad Boyes? Because that's kind of what I do. A guy with a great shot. Smart player, can get himself some space and score some goals, but ultimately a guy that's going to bounce around the league because he doesn't check off all the boxes.
I mean, here's what I think, Mike. I think that if Coyle were 3 years younger, you'd call Coyle a better prospect than Donato with more upside. Coyle's got good offensive skill, and he's much bigger, much stronger, and faster. So I think the thing that hurts Coyle is that he's already been in the league now 4 or 5 years, and the fear is that he's already reached his ceiling and he'll never be
topped out.
But he's 26. So to me, I still look at that and go, 26, there's still room for growth if they can tap into it. And that's what I like most about this. It's not like you traded Donato for a guy at the end of his career. You traded for a guy who's just entering his prime, could get better, and has another year left on his contract. So this ain't Rick Nash again.
No, so look, in the stuff that he was talking about, you know, the RFAs, you got these glut of forwards coming up. And so you had to move one. True. You just better have moved the right one. This, to me, again, is sort of the critical part now of the whole Sweeney plan. What if Donato ends up being better than DeBrusque and Heinen? Are we going to look at that 5 years down the road and say, well, you know, I mean, no,
we're going to rip them for picking the wrong guy.
Exactly. And to me, this is where it comes down to evaluating your own guys and making sure you got it right.
Paul in the car on Kyrie Irving. Hi, Paul.
All right, so Gary, let's say it does go south and you get the appearance that Kyrie is shutting it down. How do you handle it?
So how do you handle it if you're the Celtics? So Kyrie pulling the plug, to me, will take the form of, like, LeBron. When he pulls the plug, when he knows he's lost a playoff series, he's out there. The numbers look right, but the engagement isn't. I mean, you can just tell there's something not that LeBron sort of just throttled it down. But it's not super obvious. You got to go back and look at it and highlight them. And so if that's with Kyrie, I don't think he's going to totally quit or, like, blow up the team. I think the knee will flare up. He'll take a couple games. And, you know, I mean, I don't know exactly how it's going to look. But it's not like he's going to completely blow up the team. You're going to limp to the finish line with Kyrie.
My guess is they will leave open. They will do whatever they have to leave open even the smallest chance that he will stay. So if that means kissing his ass, I bet they do that. I don't think that's going to change. I mean, at this stage, you're too far committed.
No, if it starts to get ugly, I think you'll see that stop. because they'll know internally, like, it's, you know, it's going to be uglier behind the scenes. He's not going to be able to help himself from mouthing off even further. So you'll see the ass-kissing stop.
Maybe.
There's a huge swing coming up here with these games. I'm
right.
telling you.
There's no gray area.
No, it's a big stretch.
There's a, I mean, because I'm telling you.
10 big ones and 7 on the road.
I fully expect them to give Milwaukee a game tonight, probably even win it. I mean, what, the Celtics grabbing 5.5? I'd bet the Celtics.
I just wish Hayward were playing.
Okay, so it starts tonight, and then if you can parlay that into next week in Toronto, look out. Like, it's just the whole thing has started downhill, and they're like, downhill in a good way. Like, here they go. But if it flips, if it's just the opposite, then it's like, boy, I really feel Kyrie would say, I told you guys, they're not good enough. They don't get it. And then it's just, they're just limping to the finish line. And then they could be one and done. And they could be. Like, and I think it all happens in this next little stretch of games.
I mean, they got, again, they get 7 on the road out of their next 10 at Milwaukee, at Toronto, at Golden State, at the Clippers, at the Lakers.
And the Lakers is a big one, not because the Lakers are a great team, but because of what they did to you here, because of LeBron.
It's still LeBron at home.
It's still the Lakers. And you're in L.A. Is that one on national TV? I don't even know when that Lakers game is.
8:30 start on a Saturday night. It is an ABC game. So Kyrie will be there and play the whole 40.
Okay, so that's a huge, the huge stage, that L.A. game. Whether the Lakers are good or not or whatever, you're at the Lakers on ABC on Saturday night. That's sort of a big game for your momentum and your whole sort of psyche and all of that. If they blow that game, and if they've lost to Milwaukee and Toronto, forget it. I think that's it, and I think the body
Kyrie will tap out midway through the Clippers game that Monday.
I think the body language and how Kyrie handles himself will reflect it. I really do. And so, but you're so right about Hayward. Wouldn't you feel better about the chances tonight with freaking?
So I can't believe I'm even saying that, given the year he's had, but he was starting to turn a corner. Like, I was starting to feel better about the guy after the Philly game, and then they played Detroit here, right? It was Detroit.
Yes, yes, yes.
He just looked like a different guy. Like, they were running the offense through him, all of it. Like, oh, maybe now is where it turns.
Aggressive, confident, and even tough. Because remember, he got to the line 8 times against Detroit. Then he hurts the good ankle in a one-on-one with Ojale during the All-Star break. Like, come
oh,
on,
my
dude.
God. You've got to be kidding.
Again, I'm just surprised he didn't stay behind to stay in the pool. Because I heard with Kyrie in the Philly trip, man, he had to stay in the pool. Because that must be one hell of a pool. Or not, because Gordon Hayward apparently doesn't need the pool.
He better be there in Toronto for that game. He better be there.
More of your thoughts right after this.
Michael Felger, Tony Maserati, Felger and Maz. What can we say about Felger and Maz that you haven't already screamed in your car?
Sit on that one, bitch, and spin.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
It's all over the internet.
Do you live it? Is the internet real for you in your life? It's my life, right? It's two people talking, having a conversation. If this was a real world, would it be anybody else's business? But it's a video of somebody assuming what we're talking about, right?
I hear you.
Making an opinion about it. So why would I care about it?
Well,
why does that have an impact on my life? Why are you asking me those type of questions?
Yeah.
About cooling it off? For what?
The reason we're
I don't get it.
The reason we're asking about it is because the people that the fans are interested in. That's all.
Oh, the fans.
Yes.
This is about the fans.
That's
okay, this is about, so you write for the fans.
You do it your life. Yeah.
Okay, so that's where we start the conversation. What I do with my life is my business. So it's none of yours, none of anybody's, it's not anybody's business, right? So it's a video of me and one of my best friends talking. And then it turns out to be a dissection of a free agency meeting. You get that? Like, do you get that? And then I'm asked questions about it. Like, that's what disconnects me from all that. Like, because I have no connection to that. Like, over a video, I'm asking questions about the fans. And you brought up the fans? Come on, man. You do it for the likes and clicks. Everybody does. Everybody wants to hear me talk like this. Like, everybody wants to hear every athlete talk about bullshit like this. A video, though, to pull water on it?
What I'm saying,
makes no sense. It just makes no sense. It's not real life.
What'd you say about Kyrie there and the little fit he threw yesterday in Milwaukee?
Yeah, I think he's becoming unhinged. That's what it feels like. It feels like the guy's just, you said unraveling earlier.
Humorless me, DB.
He's cracking. He's cracking. He's like, he can't understand why this is like, why are people treating me like this? Why, you know, and I would say this is the deal of being a superstar in that league. This is it. This is the reality of it. I think he had this idea of what it was going to be like to be LeBron and, oh, it's this great thing. And, you know, there are parts of it that are good. I'm not sure LeBron was great at it at the beginning. He learned how to, I think LeBron over the years has learned how to handle the criticism. He still sucks as a leader. LeBron's not a good leader to me.
Is the internet real for you in your life? We can now add this. Let's see. Let me see if I can go through the list of some of the things he said since he's been a member of the Boston Celtics. Is the internet real for you in your life? You can add that to S my D, F Thanksgiving. I don't want to dim down how special I am or how special I can be. It takes a real man to go back and call LeBron. I don't owe anyone S. That's none of your business. This is the stuff that just doesn't make the league fun. And we basically have a bunch of young men in our locker room that feel like they're capable of doing a lot more than what they're doing. And that's just a small sample. He's got to shut up. Or just put up 30 tonight so we can all temporarily forget about what's going on. We've had too much time to, you know, talk about this kind of stuff in the last 8 days.
Just talk about that. Talk about his 30 and not about his mouth.
I mean, this is the stuff that doesn't make the league fun or makes the league not fun or what.
It's what has made them all millionaires.
Yeah, see, he thinks like you can get the good without the bad.
This is what's given you the ability to make terrible movies like Uncle Drew and this other one that you're going to come out with.
I'm telling you, it feels like, listening to that one with Bo Pett, it feels like it's Steve Bo Pett of the Herald. He feels like he's becoming unhinged.
Well, especially because Steve was trying to help him out. Steve was trying to take his side. Can you believe these idiots are putting words in your mouth with this video? I mean, don't you want to shoot that down because these people are dumb? And Kyrie didn't even get it. Kyrie didn't even get that. Well, Pat was trying to take his side and get him to vocalize it. And that's how sensitive he was.
Yeah, he's turned into the living embodiment of blah.
And how his backup.
I don't like what you got to say.
How much he got his backup about this. And I noticed, though, in that whole diatribe, he never said we weren't talking about New York. Well, you're so easy. Like, that's all he had to.
Right.
Dude, we weren't talking about New York. This is all kind of silly. I don't have to justify this, but we weren't talking about that.
I mean,
he never said that.
No. I think the only reason you react the way he reacted is because either you got caught doing something you didn't think you were going to get caught doing.
Their spot is being blown up. This is why Durant and Irving are acting this way. We have a Players Tribune article that we're going to put out about this when we make our move. We have a single we're going to drop or a little teaser trailer we're going to put out with our new terrible movie that will be out a year from now. Ugh. Oh, God. Just please go up 35. Go out tonight in Milwaukee, 35 points. Beat the Bucks. So we can just have that hit of, oh, okay, all right, see, this is why he's so...
And Kyrie, don't talk to the media after the game.
Right.
Say you're unavailable.
Yep.
He can't hack it. He can't hack the scrutiny that comes with that kind of role. He can't hack it.
Back to your phones. Jerry on Cape Cod. Go ahead, Jerry.
Oh, my God. Let's make sure he keeps his mouth shut going forward. But you guys have mentioned several times about... The leadership and the combination of Pierce, Allen, and Garnett. And it gets you thinking, if Hayward stays, if Hayward gets well and Kyrie stays, do you see any combination coming together that's going to move us forward to a championship?
Yes, your player's getting better. Your player's getting better. That Tatum develops into a top 10 player, top 5 player. That Jaylen Brown grows up, figures out his crap, and fulfills his potential. And that Gordon Hayward fully recovers, gets off the damn Xbox, and fulfills his, what he is, which is an all-star. And you're sort of on your way. And if you manage your money properly, maybe you have a max spot there and you can get someone to join you. I mean, I do think there's another path. I've said this all along. There's a path outside of Kyrie and Anthony Davis. There is.
Yeah, I don't know if they'll have enough to win it. But I'll say in the short term, as of right now, they can get to the finals. They can. I don't know if they can beat Golden State. I don't think they can do that. I don't think anybody can beat Golden State. But they can get to the finals if they get their heads out of their butts.
Yeah. Howard in Burlington waiting patiently to talk about the Coil trade. Howard, thanks for hanging on. What do you got?
Hey, no problem, Mike. Sorry to hear about the Cafardo. That's really terrible. I've been around in over 50, 58, and I've followed him for a long time. Really sorry, guys.
Sad story. It's bad.
So Coyle, I didn't want to do the Pierre Maguire. Well, he's from Saskatchewan, played in the Pee Wees, And I mean, I like the kid because I'm a BU guy too, Mike, and I like anybody from BU hockey. And I hope that it works out. Maybe it's just like, for Donato, a change of scenery, for Coyle, a change of scenery. Maybe this will work out. And I'm with you. Don't give away any of these prized guys to get a Stone or somebody like that. Why can't they get Forsbacher, Carlson, and and that Sinesian kid, that defenseman guy, why don't they package them and try to get somebody, you know? But that's my take on it.
Yeah, I think you've got a lot of those pieces down there. Can you get someone to bite? I'll make those trades.
See, I don't want to move Vaakanainen either.
I don't think I do either. But especially for a rental, I'll trade him for someone who's got years left, who has term. But the renting these guys, I'm just sort of down on it. I'm down with the rental. It hasn't worked in too long. And he mentioned Pierre McGuire. Can I take a second to mention the broadcast last night? And it was great to hear Gauche again call Bruins hockey. You know, as much as we love Judd Surratt, Gauche, always going to have a, Dave Gauche is going to have a, you know, place in our heart. But Pierre McGuire, with his freaking stupid media guide, like, I don't care where the kid went to high school. And I don't care about who he played juniors with. I don't care. I don't care, Pierre. Stop with the where he went to high school and who his junior coach was. God, it's painful. And then they put that goober race car driver.
Oh, how bad was that?
In the booth for like the whole second period where I had listen to this, you know, Bocephus goober. No. Oh, man, look at the speed. Oh, this is unbelievable. For like, I got it, dude. Yes, you think it's fast and interesting. Shut up. Oh, my God, the way that NBC is trying to shoehorn that NASCAR stuff and, you know, cross-pollinate the NASCAR and the hockey people. Would you just stop?
Little Atkinson is so smart out of Riverside, Connecticut, Boston College, Avon Old Farms, and Mid-Fairfield Blues before he got to the NHL.
Who? I'm sorry, I talked over that last part. He goes right back to his Bantam team. Go.
Little Atkinson is so smart out of Riverside, Connecticut, Boston College, Avon Old Farms, and Mid-Fairfield Blues before he got to the NHL.
The Mid-Fairfield Blues? Is that his squirt team?
Pee-wees.
Oh, Pierre, put a freaking sock in it. Seriously, shut up with that stuff.
Yeah, I thought he played for the Moncton Mounties.
Just tell me what you see on the ice. Tell me what they're saying down there at the ice. That's why you're down there. I don't care. Hey. To steal Maz's line, that he played for the Saskatchewan Mooseballs in 2014. I don't care.
Saskatchewan Buttsticks. It was the Manitoba Mooseballs.
I don't care who the coach of the Buttsticks were 2 years ago when he played with his team. I don't care. I don't care. And boy, do I really not care about the stupid race car driver in the booth. Good God. Like, you're trying to, do you understand people in the South don't give two poops about hockey? And most of the rest of us don't give two poops about NASCAR? Would you stop with this? God,
the Manitoba Mooseballs. That's what it was. They played the Fredericton Fat Asses in the playoffs.
Okay, so, and again, I hate to shoehorn this horribly heartbreaking news in the middle of that. But the caller mentioned, in case you're just joining us, Nick Cafardo, longtime Globe sports writer, passed away today in Fort Myers, who Maz and I know very well. Maz knows better than I do, having been on the Red Sox beat with all those years with Nick. But I was on Patriots beat with Nick for all those years. And so we both know him, and our heart breaks for his family, and our sincerest condolences to his family and the extended Globe family and all the people that have known and lived with Nick over the years. It's a heartbreaking, tragic story today from Fort Myers.
Really? I mean, you know, I was stunned when I heard it. I went, what? So he's 62, and the story that's in the Globe says apparently from an embolism. It all happened very suddenly, unexpectedly. And look, I'll say what I said earlier, and I actually tweeted this as well, that, competing against, I was just starting out on the beat. Nick had been on the beat for, you know, 13 years or something by the time I got there, and he kicked my ass for a long time. And I learned a lot just losing to him, competing against him. How to act away from the job and with your competitors. Like you made a good point earlier. He wasn't one of these guys that would look to kick your ass in the ballpark and then hate you outside of it.
Exactly.
He left and he put it away, and you were a person just like everybody else.
Like Matt said, I had, you know, I competed with Nick for years on the Patriots beat writing, and then you may remember the first time you may even have heard of me was debating Nick Cafardo about Brady and Bledsoe with Bob Lobel on Sports Final in 2000, 2001, in that era. And so, like I said before, Nick and I would be at each other's throats in the locker room trying to get a story, and then we'd battle it out on TV, and then that would end and the light would go off, and he was just the most gentle, kind soul that was just really a model, Maz, as you said, of how to carry yourself when you're in this spot and in this job, and he was really a role model like that.
Totally.
And he was a hell of a good reporter.
I mean, I learned a lot just watching him, right? Watching how he did it. And you know, you learn from people you work with, you learn from people you work against. And I never really worked with him, just for a very brief period of time when I was at the Globe. But I felt every bit as strongly about him at that time when I did, or rather when I worked against him, as when I did with him. I never felt negatively about him at all.
So it's not just a loss for us who knew him or his family, of course, and those were deepest condolences go to Nick Cafardo's family, but for all of us. He's been running sports in this town for 30 years.
Yeah, a loss.
He's one of the biggest baseball writers in the country. And he went right to the Patriots when I was on the beat, unfortunately for me, because he kicked my ass too. And he went right to that Patriots thing, and it was seamless, and he got stories there too. He was a tremendous reporter. And we've, all of us, if you listen to my voice, you've been reading and consuming Nick Cafardo's coverage in this town for decades. An important guy in this town. A really important guy today passed. And, well, again, our condolences to his family.
Yeah, big, big, big loss, really. I can't, you know I've met his son, Ben. I can't emphasize enough how bad I feel for his family.
So, again, those are our thoughts on Nick Cafardo and that horrible situation. Here's an update with Murray.
Felger and Maz. Making sense of Boston sports.
There's no catching and no throwing. Anyone can play, no matter how hopelessly unathletic they are.
Felger and Maz, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Okay, wrap it up with your calls. We're mostly Bruins on that Coyle trade and Kyrie Irving and the Celtics getting back to work tonight. Mike and Milton on the Bees. What do you got, Michael? Michael?
Yes.
You're on the air, Mike. Go ahead.
Hey, thanks a lot for taking my call, guys. Appreciate it. And condolences go out to you guys with Nick Cafardo. That's very sad to hear. Want to tip my cap to you, Felger. This is the most sense you've made about the Bruins in 3 years. I mean, I think the trade was a huge win. Donato can be a real nice second, third line wing on a mediocre team in the NHL. He just doesn't fit the Bruins lineup. They had two major gaps to fill, the second line right wing, third line center. And, I mean, for a $3.2 million cap hit, Coyle's an incredible addition for that third line center role. I mean, what this trade tells me after 11 games, Frederick just isn't ready. Coyle can come in and take that third line center role over and, you know, with Jack said Nick would be in their best prospect coming up. He can be ready to take over that third line center role next year, and Frederick's a valuable trade piece now.
All
right, so.
Well, let's see about all that. I'd hold off on the huge win business. I mean, if Donato turns into a player, if Donato turns into Blake Wheeler, you haven't won. You've given away a good young player. So let's see what Ryan Donato becomes. You clearly are better short term.
Sure.
Donato wasn't going to help you this year. So you've clearly gotten better this year and maybe even next. I don't know what. Again, Donato's arc is going to be, but what could you know, is he going to be a 20-goal scorer next year? I don't know. I mean, maybe. He's got the shot for it. I don't know if he has anything else for it. So you're definitely better in the short term. Definitely better in the short term. How good does it make you, and what does Donato become? Those are the things you're going to find out in time.
Yeah, absolutely. Again, and I think even internally, you know, independent of who you got back in the deal. I think you also graded against the young guys that the Bruins kept. You know, they drafted and developed all these guys. You got this glut of players. Now you got to keep the right ones. So that's a part of it too. Like, you know, it's one thing to say, okay, you got a decent return on a trade or you didn't. But if you trade away a guy who's a good player and keep two that are lesser players and Heinen and DeBrus, that's no good.
Tom in Boston on the Celtics. Hi, Tom.
Hey, guys. Ryan Donato seems like just a name at this point, but I really want to talk about Kyrie. This guy is such a child that I don't even know if I want him anymore. Like, but in terms of the Celtics and Danny Ainge, do you think that they're going to offer him anything more than just a contract? Say, like, you have a little bit of influence in, you know, who we might bring here, or, hey, for Christ, you know, maybe even give him some real estate outside the guard.
Yeah. No, like give him a say on how they build the team. That would be totally unprecedented.
No, they won't do it. No, what they would do is what they've done with other great players. They'll say, you know, we're interested in this guy. You're a friend of his. Can you help us get him? I mean, that's what happened with Sam Cassell. He and Garnett were buddies. So Garnett reached out to him and, you know, they angled it that way. And Cassell was all too eager and willing to do it. But in terms of like the power that LeBron has, I don't think the Celtics will ever give that to Kyrie.
No, but in the meantime, you act like you're going to.
Oh, yeah. No, no.
You've said, Maz. Yeah. So whatever you want. Hey, you want to have a show on the Sports Hub? You want to have a show on NBC Sports Buzz or whatever you want to? Because obviously you got things to say. Yeah. And then once he signs the contract, you're ours now. You can't. No, you're not going to be LeBron 2.0.
No, that's right. Kiss his ass until you get his name on the contract. And then after that, sorry, Kyrie, you got to play by the rules.
Just the ass kissing hasn't worked to this point. He doesn't feel very happy here, and it doesn't feel like his teammates are happy with him. It hasn't worked to this point. Jim in Manchester. Yes, Jim, on the NBA.
Hey.
Yeah.
Jim, I'm going to let you go. You can call me back when you get in a better zone. 617-779-0985. Our buddy Stick is in Fall River. Yes, Stick.
There's nobody able to tank it. This is a problem right the frickin' now, tanking. Why are there people tanking to have Zion? Hey, listen to it. Well, it's all about frickin' getting Kyrie or Irving and frickin' and Durant there. It's tanking. Tanking is the worst sport in freaking everything.
Okay.
I think Stick's tanking.
More like hammered, not Stick.
Oh, no. I think he's well on his way to tanking.
Thanks for the call, Stick. The thing is, they've redone those odds. So finishing worst is not, it's not like 14%, Jimmy, or something like that?
Yeah, something like that, yeah.
Worst three teams are at 14%.
So yeah. It doesn't matter whether you're one, two, or three. And instead of, it used to be the worst team had a 25% chance.
Right.
Now it's down to 14 or whatever that is.
Correct.
So that's, you know, the teams are still doing it. Make no mistake. It's just not as dramatic.
No, I like the step. I mean, it doesn't guarantee you of anything. So you might as well win the games at the end if you're going to finish last or third to last. What's the difference?
But again, you just connect the dots with Kyrie and Durant. I mean, how many times did Kyrie say in that rant yesterday, my best friend is my best friend is my best. If you're such good friends, and again, they were in each other's pants the entire weekend in Charlotte. If you're like that in love with each other, and you're just such buddies, you're both free agents. You both have ties to New York. They have room for two max contracts. Like, how much sleuthing does this really take?
Oh, it doesn't take any. I mean, it's the most obvious thing in the world. Like, dude, what do you think? End of the year, New York?
I mean, it's... I mean, if you feel that strongly about the guy, and Kyrie has almost come out and said it, that basketball is not the most important thing to him. He's more interested and is just as invested in the social injustice issues and him being able to weigh in on these things and these topics and having that platform. That is just as important to him. He sounds like it's more important to him than basketball.
He resented. Was the way that Washburn wrote it, Kerry Washburn in the Globe, was that LeBron? Kyrie resented people asking him only about basketball.
Okay, so Kyrie's got all those interests, and he's got his own movie career. Durant has his whole production company, right?
Yes, there's a huge thing in ESPN magazine about Durant and like the boardroom empire built.
So again, those things are hugely important to those guys, as much as important, if not more, than the actual basketball. So in which case, New York makes perfect sense for that platform, for those interests. And again, you think they'll be good off the hot? I don't know. I have no idea. Just two players and that such a wretched franchise. It can't be their, if they're just concerned about the basketball, that can't be their number one destination. Here should be the number one destination if it's just about basketball. But for these guys, it's about all this other crap. And they love each other to death, and the Knicks have the room. Like, it's really not that hard to figure out.
Not Felger. You're just making it all up. You're seeing stuff that's not there, Felger.
Meanwhile, they all sign these one-year deals. They're all opting out. They're all conspiring with each other. And you ask them about it, they pitch a fit.
No, they flip out. Durant did the same thing. Like, did the same thing in the Bay Area last week.
Like, why are you asking me about this? What do you mean why I'm asking about this? You're the one who signed the one-year deal, Kevin.
You remember that? I say remember it like it was 6 years ago. It was a week ago. I just want to play basketball, man. All this other stuff.
Yeah, and then he was asked about basketball. Shoot, you don't care about that.
You don't really care.
He was. So I think they're commiserating on this thing. You believe this? You believe all the questions? Yeah, I don't know. Do people think we're going to go to New York? Yeah. So what are you doing? You going? I'm going.
Yeah, of course. Yeah, we'll see you there. Go ahead, Kevin.
Dude, Ethan Strauss, who come in here and just give his whole opinion on stuff and make it seem like it's coming from me. And he just walk around here, don't talk to nobody, just walk in here and survey and then write something like that. And now y'all piling on me because I don't want to talk to y'all about that. I have nothing to do with the Knicks. I don't know who traded Porzingis. They got nothing to do with me. I'm trying to play basketball. Y'all come here every day, ask me about free agency, ask my teammates, my coaches, you rile up the fans about it. Let us play basketball. That's all I'm saying. And now when I don't want to talk to y'all, it's a problem with me. Come on, man. Grow up. Yeah, you, grow up. Come on, bro. I come in and go to work every day. I don't cause no problems. I play the right way. I try to play the right way. I try to be the best player I can be every possession. What's the problem? What am I doing to y'all?
You're talking.
So? Who are you? Why do I got to talk to you? Tell me. Is that going to help me do my job better? Nah, bro. I didn't feel like talking.
It sounded very similar in tone to our guy yesterday in Milwaukee.
Totally.
Right?
Totally.
Pour water on it? I'm a human being talking to another best friend of mine. Like, put in, it's just crazy. You know, this is the stuff that just doesn't make the league fun. Like, it doesn't make the league fun. Nobody helps smoke the league even more by doing bullshit like that, of just fictitious putting things on, like, what we're talking about. Like, it's crazy. I guess that's what you want, huh?
No.
Okay, so, oddly enough, Durant makes more sense than Kyrie.
How are you playing? How's the team playing in the last couple weeks?
I'm done. You know you don't care about that.
That is my favorite part. He goes on this two-minute rant. I just want to talk about basketball. I say, okay, how's the team? Nah, you don't care. And he leaves.
As he's walking away, it's great. But
notice
in the last couple weeks.
I'm done. You know you don't care about that.
I just asked you.
Notice, nowhere did Durant and Kyrie in those rants say, we're not going to New York. There's nothing to it. They didn't.
They've got two condos in New York waiting for them.
At no point did they say that. And apparently after, again, grabbing each other's tush the entire weekend in Charlotte, they went to Miami together.
You know, now that I think of it, too, I don't know, since I've been a grown-ass man, if I've ever referred to any of my friends as a best friend.
Oh, my bestie.
Oh, my God. So, like, why would I would say, guys, get a room. Go to New York together so I can stop watching this thing between you two.
You know, when I listen to it again, the Durant thing, I love it so much. I do. And that line, I don't know about the Knicks. I don't know who traded Porzingis. What's that got to do with anything? Like, what the hell? Why, people blaming you for Porzingis being traded? Like, what are you talking about?
Yeah, there are people out there who think that he got Porzingis traded.
Well, no, he didn't clear the cap room.
I know. It's funny.
Like, two max slots.
Don't blame me for Porzingis. I didn't do that.
He did.
Two max slots. Now's the time.
Oh, these guys wanted all the power. They wanted the power to make their own call, which, again, good for them. They have the talent. They can do it. You can't now complain about the scrutiny that comes with the power. You get the power and the scrutiny, or you get neither. That's just how it works.
Final. And then they get the first pick, and they trade Zion Williams for Anthony Davis. And it's Kyrie, Durant, and Davis.
Final word comes your way next.
Stay tuned for more Felger and Mass on 98.5, The Sports Hub.
B.O.B. Boob.
Oh, my God. Isn't that Bob?
It's Felger and Mass, 98.5 The Sports Hub. Felger's expert analysis.
Not from this talk radio crazy.
Mass's hard-hitting questions.
What am I, like the freaking abrasive police here?
The caller's bringing knowledge to the table.
Mass, the adults are talking.
It's time to recap this four-hour show in 4 minutes. It's the final word on Felger and Mass on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Final word brought to you by Town Fair Tire. If you're looking for the best deal on tires, only one place to go. That's Town Fair Tire. The best prices and great free services. Nobody beats Town Fair Tire. Nobody. All right. Let's try to run through these three pieces of sound as quickly as possible here. Talked a little bit about Stephen Gostkowski today and how it looks like he's going to get the franchise tag, something Maz hates.
Telling you, it's un-American. It is. It's un-American. The franchise tag is un-American. The franchise tag in the NFL is one of the great injustices in pro sports. Like, okay, so the whole idea of why do they call it the quote-unquote franchise tag?
It's not for the kicker.
Because it's supposed to be used on someone important, like a quarterback. Or dare I say, a pass rusher, a corner.
A freaking kicker.
To me, they got to modify this rule to say you're not allowed to use it on a kicker or a punter.
No question. It's like,
I hate the franchise tag. I hate the concept of it.
Didn't they do it to Adam twice?
Kicker. Oh, God, I hate it. Please, it violates the spirit of the rule. They call it the franchise tag so that you don't lose like a quarterback. That's why they made the rule. Telling you, it's un-American. It is. It's un-American. The franchise tag is un-American. And using it on a kicker? Holy crap. That should be like a felony.
It's gross.
Seriously, you should have to go to jail for that, for crying out loud. There should be an automatic fine for franchising the kicker. $5 million. Automatically increase it to 10 so nobody does it. Sounded good. A little like Ted Sarandis.
Yeah, right? No, definitely. Yeah. Indignant.
Charlie Coyle, the newest member of the Boston Bruins. One thing, Felger, you don't care about him at all, is that he's from here. Yeah, you got no civic pride.
Yeah.
He's from East Weymouth. Who cares? What? And what's the difference between East Weymouth and Weymouth?
Yeah, East Weymouth is a little
farther east. I understand, but I didn't even know there was a difference.
Me neither.
Oh, he skated with the junior wings down in the South Shore with Chris Wagner. I don't care.
It sounds like Pierre, what's his name?
Yeah, Noel McGuire was babbling. Pierre McGuire. Of course, Pierre McGuire was flapping his gums last night about the junior team they played with on the South Shore. I don't care. I don't care if they're from Mars. I don't care if they're Timbuktu. I don't care where the old man has lunch.
Because you're a carpetbagger.
The Saskatoon butt stick.
I don't care. The Saskatoon butt sticks. Or the East Weymouth Terriers. And I'm a BU guy. I love BU. I don't care if you went to BU or whatever. Or the University of Miami. I don't care. So, like, it bugs me when they play up the local angle. Really does.
You got no local pride, kid.
Yeah. Yeah, Felger, you're an outsider.
It's called provincialism.
You're a traitor, Felger. You don't belong here. Go back to Wisconsin.
Next.
Bum.
Next.
Finally, this is proving yet again this show should never, ever do math. We're trying to figure things out on the air in real time.
It's a bad, really
Since
bad
the
habit.
Day of the Patriots Championship Parade in 2015, 16.
17.
I shouldn't have said this.
Jimmy.
From the day they fired Claude to now. From the day they fired Claude to now. Tell me what the Bruins record is.
Second best record in the NHL.
Just could have said that.
Yeah. 2015.
Yeah, whatever.
16.
All right.
You're listening to Felger and Mass on 98.5 The Sports Hub.